Welcome back, y'all. Welcome if you're just joining. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got political editor Dan Schaefer joining me. We just finished up a conversation about tariffs. But of course, I got yet another great text message that is worthy of airtime. Ben from Sun Prairie, my man, pointing out something that is wonky and yet completely intuitively obvious. So I want to share. Ben says this: business owners have the ability to create a ton of short-term profits based on their existing stock of goods, because between the time that the tariff is announced, that day they can jack prices up, and yet they'll still be selling based on their existing stock of goods, which creates windfall profits. And the interesting thing about Ben's point, Dan, that I'll mention is this: small business owners don't have a ton of stock of their goods or the things that they need, the supplies that they need to make their goods. Small business owners tend to run on much thinner production lines, turnaround time, more just-in-time sort of manufacturing. It is typically the largest sellers of finished good products that can actually stock up and store products. So those immediate windfall profits won't go to small business owners. They'll go to the biggest businesses out there. That's point one. Point two, Dan, you had just shared an article about agriculture and farmers in the United States being very concerned about Donald Trump's promise to engage in mass deportation. Talking about tariffs and rising prices for consumer goods and food and new housing starts and automobiles and every electronic in your house, I would be remiss if I didn't say, coupled with Donald Trump's mass deportation policy, however executed, if that starts targeting farm workers, which tend to be migrant or seasonal workers, that is going to have a multiplying effect on rising prices for especially the food that you purchase to feed your family. You've got to see it as a whole. And these two things, tariff policy and the deportation policy, will have a combining and accelerated impact. Wow. So all good things to consider. But Dan, you and I wanted to talk a little bit about, how do Democrats move on? How do we continue to have these conversations about racial justice and racial disparities given this election outcome? And I went to a conference last week. It was called Facing Race. It's a conference about racial justice, about how do people continue to do the work to try to decrease disparities between racial groups in this country. And I asked you, Dan, I didn't want to just narrate it. I thought it would be best if you asked some questions about that and we did some thinking together, which with each and every one of you, our great listeners out there, you want to get in on this conversation. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Phone and text lines are open.
Yeah, so you attended this conference over the weekend, and I guess my first question for you for this is, what was it like to be at a conference where you're discussing racial justice just a few weeks after Donald Trump was elected to a second term?
Yes, it was, I think, incredibly needed for people that work in the racial justice space, whether they're in the nonprofit space, in the private sector, or they work in government, and you've been paying attention to the disparities in outcome and in wealth, in, you know, what do Black women earn compared to a white man for doing the same job, you know, all of the pay equity, all of those things, housing equity, wealth inequities, all of that. This work is going to continue, and I think people wanted to come together. The conference has been scheduled for a long time, but I think a lot of the content of the sessions changed and shifted given the new political environment. But I'll tell you what was great about it. It was really nice to be amongst 4,000 plus people who care deeply about this work and know that the work is and will continue, and talking about how do we continue to do that work. So it was a little bit of, it was kind of DNC-esque a little bit. It was like half family reunion, half like tent revival. It was good to be amongst people that really do care about this work and understand that the work continues no matter who occupies the White House.
One of the things that I've been thinking a lot about after the election was how different people's reactions are now compared to 2016. How did you find that, you know, at this type of conference?
I think the keynote speaker was Joy Reid, who's one of MSNBC's daily show hosts. And I think her perspective was twofold, and I think it mirrored mine and a lot of sort of the overall take that I got at the conference, which was people are really angry about the place that they find themselves, like their economic situation. People are genuinely angry. It's not just white folks. It's Black folks. It's Latino folks. It's the LGBTQIA community. And that anger has had these spillover impacts. It's been harnessed and sort of channeled in a way by the GOP and certainly the MAGA movement. But that the real fear and anger that people feel about not being able to get ahead is universal, right? And so if we try to address and talk about inequities and making sure that things are fair, we're speaking about making it more fair for everyone. This is about working people. It's not just about Black working folks or Latino working folks. It's about working people, and that high tide will raise all ships. Point number two was that Donald Trump won by razor thin margins. And so to the extent that the anger is translating into disengagement, that this is the place, this is the opportunity to try to have these conversations anew. We're going to take a really quick break. Again, we want your input here, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. The conversation continues with political editor Dan Schaefer. How do Democrats talk about racial justice after this election cycle that we've seen? Our conversation continues after these brief messages.